You are listening to sounddoctrine.net, Ministry of Agape Chapel Ministries.
Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go.
Hi, this is Pastor Nick. The following message is on MP3 format and it is not copyrighted. You can download to your computer and burn CDs. We encourage you to bookmark sounddoctrine.net as you can download hundreds of free MP3 sermons, booklets and articles for God's glory and for your growth. And now, here is today's Lord's Day sermon. I'm going to give a new series today, and it's called, actually, going through the Old Testament a little bit, and they're going to be different series. So, the first one is going to be the Old Testament Tabernacle and Christ Jesus. The Old Testament Tabernacle and Christ Jesus. A subheading of that would be Tabernacle Pointed to Christ, the True Tabernacle. That means the Old Testament Tabernacle really points to the True Tabernacle, Jesus Christ. That's going to be the subheading. And only on the Tabernacle alone, we are going to have probably about four series that we will go through. Probably about four series. So, today, we are not going to grab everything. It's going to be little by little. We may miss some things that you may wonder, well, I didn't hear this, I didn't hear that. Don't worry about it. And if you're going to continue in this series, you will get the whole picture. Now, it was R.C. Sproul who said when he went to a certain church, he asked for a Bible and someone handed him a New Testament. And he said, this is only the half the Bible. And we are living in days of apostasy today where the Old Testament has been neglected. And people usually, a lot of people think that the Bible begins with the Gospel of Matthew or Gospel of John. And many take the Old Testament as a history book where you can learn something through history, but they fail to realize that the Old Testament is still the Word of God, is still Scripture. You know, and someone said Old Testament is like a large crab. It turns out to be mostly shell, not enough meat. And with very little meat in it. Well, I'll tell you, there are 66 books in the Bible, and out of that 66, 39 are in the Old Testament. There are a lot of meat there. And the problem is not the Old Testament, the problem is the people who doesn't understand the Old Testament. The problem is the man who fails to see the truth in the Old Testament. God laid a solid foundation in the Old Testament for the Messiah to come. There are over 300 prophecies that is in the Old Testament. So the failure to recognize the unity of the two testaments have resulted in wrong doctrines. The Old Testament and the New Testament is both of one revelation of the mind and the will of God. So the old and the new is from one God, one revelation, and is from the mind of God, and is by the will of God, and is to the people. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Now it says all scripture is breathed out by God. It doesn't say half the scriptures is breathed out by God, other half not. When you say all scripture, that includes the Old Testament. Romans chapter 15 verse 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. Romans 15:4. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Old Testament is the Word of God, just like the New Testament is the Word of God. Now, as I said, the problem is not the Old Testament, the problem is man. They fail to understand the Old Testament because they give so much emphasis only to the New Testament. Remember, after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and after his resurrection, there were two disciples. They were walking along the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Then a stranger joined them in their conversation. And this stranger saw these two men were heartbroken as their hopes were all gone. Their master was put to death. And so their hopes are all gone. So this stranger came and told them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Luke 24:25. So the problem of the disciples were not of their master, the problem was with them. As Jesus said, how foolish you are to understand. They did not understand the Old Testament. But we see this stranger, he came and he exposed the scriptures of the Old Testament. And all the prophets, beginning from Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them how Christ has to suffer. And he showed them that Christ is the center of the Old Testament. Then they realized this stranger was Christ himself. As Christ came and opened their hearts, they were amazed at this. When Jesus disappeared, they were amazed as they said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scripture to us? Luke 24:32. Here Jesus opened their hearts and opened the scriptures, and their hearts were burned within them. When you read the Old Testament, does your heart burn within you because now you know the New Testament? Does it? In Acts chapter 28, verse 23, Apostle Paul, he preached the Old Testament. Acts 28:23 says, when they had appointed the day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Now, as just to show you that how important it is, the Old Testament, because you don't know the end if you don't know the beginning. The beginning is important, just like as the end is important. Now, of course, the topic is going to be tabernacle, Old Testament tabernacle pointed to Christ, the true tabernacle. As I said, I'm going to go through kind of very briefly about it first. Let's see the setting. If you see the setting here, the Lord Almighty, with His mighty power, brought the children of Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. Against, when they came out of the hand of Pharaoh, then they came to a place where they saw the Pharaoh's army behind them. Against all the odds, they were totally trapped. Because the Pharaoh's army is behind them. On either side, you find steep mountains where you can never climb. And in front, you find the ocean. There's no way you can get out. Absolutely trapped. Of course, Pharaoh's army would have thought, wow, this is going to be chicken feed for us. So, man, in the same way, we see that man is incapable of his own salvation. There's no way we are capable of salvation on our own. In the same way, we see when man was, when the children of Israel, when they were totally incapable of salvation from the enemy, okay, and that is to overpower the enemy, they were very few in number, and they were totally trapped, and there's no way that they can get away. But God, in His mighty arm, He divided the Red Sea, and the children of Israel were able to cross the Red Sea on dry ground while the enemies were drowned in the sea. And that is, we see that the salvation was from God alone. Salvation is by God alone. God led the people into the wilderness. They lived in open air. They lived in tents. And their companions were, we are living in a totally different society, so we need to understand, their companions were the sun, the moon, the trees, the mountains. That's all they can see. And they lived in tents. Now God Himself visited them and tabernacle among them. I'll give you a little small nutshell of the tabernacle. God instructed Moses to make a sacred portable tent for the Lord. A portable tent that you can travel. The execution of the plan was given to Moses. And the tabernacle is 45 feet in length. And breadth and height probably about 15 feet. It was rectangular in shape. So the children of Israel got this tabernacle was built by very expensive materials. And you might ask, how did they get these expensive materials in the wilderness? Remember, the children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they brought gold, silver, jewelry, and clothing from Egypt. Before their departure, the Lord had given the children of Israel favor. Whatever they asked from the Egyptians, they gave. Exodus chapter 12, 35 to 36 says that the Israelites plunder the Egyptians, getting all the wealth. The people provided materials for the tabernacle. So abundantly they gave that Moses had to say, enough, enough, don't bring any more. He has to refrain them in giving, to stop them. That's how the tabernacle was built, by free giving, by a joyous giving of the people. So it's the same way when you are saved by the great redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you have salvation, you want to serve the Lord with everything what you have. You want to just give all your heart, all your mind, all your soul.
Because that if God gave us salvation, eternal life, what can you give? Obedience. And we need to be obedient, not to be living in sinfulness. So this earthly tabernacle was a copy and a shadow of the true dwelling place of God. Hebrews chapter 8:5 says they serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things. And when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God saying, "See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain." So it was God who gave the instructions that the tabernacle that was going to be built is going to be built according to God's instructions. That is, the tabernacle is a dwelling place, the same exact copy of the heavenly tabernacle. But it's only a copy. Now, the Old Testament tabernacle was a symbol of Christ Jesus. It's a symbol of Christ Jesus. It's not the true, genuine tabernacle, but it kind of points to Christ Jesus. It's only a symbol for Christ Jesus. Hebrews 8:5, we saw that it's not a shadow of heavenly things. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 24 says, "For Christ has entered not only holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things." There again, you see, copy of the true things. So Old Testament was a copy. Now it's a true thing. "But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf." Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 says, "For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come." So the Old Testament tabernacle, it was a copy, it was a shadow of the things that is going to come. That is Christ. Then he says, "Instead of the true form of the reality, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near." So because it's an earthly tabernacle, every year you have to, high priest have to go there and perform the sacrifices. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 6 to 14, Hebrews chapter 9, starting from 6 to 14. "These preparations, having thus been made, the priests go regularly into the first section, performing their ritual duties." Now we are going to see in our next, on the other lesson, how the tabernacle is being divided. Okay, see the holy place and the holy of holies, and we are going to go through all the furniture and everything else, okay? So you have to have patience and to continue in this series. Verse 7 says, "But into the second only the high priest goes, and he but once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the unintentional sins of the people." Verse 8, "By this the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into holy places not yet open as long as the first section is still standing, which is symbolic for the present age." So here we see it was a symbolic. "According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshipper, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations of the body imposed until the time of the Reformation." Okay, we are not talking the Reformation of Martin Luther here, okay? You have to understand that. We're talking until the time of the Reformation, till the time that Jesus came, okay? So the ceremonial law is going to be abolished. Verse 11, "When Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent." Here we see, when Christ came, he was the greater and the perfect tabernacle. The word tent there is tabernacle. He was a perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, none of this creation. He came from heaven, not made with hands. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats, calves, and by the means, but by the means of his own blood. Whenever the high priest goes to the holy place, he cannot go on his own, but he has to go by a blood sacrifice. But Christ, when he went, he didn't go through the animal sacrifice, but his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of heifer sanctify the purification of the flesh, how much more with the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serving the living God. Praise God. The earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament showed how God dealt with what? Sin. It symbolized what Christ and salvation, a foreshadow of Christ's work in the New Testament. So the earthly tabernacle in the Old Testament, it was only a foreshadow what Christ is going to come and do on the cross in the New Testament. The shadow is always inferior to the reality, but it's only a shadow. Okay, that's why in the book of Hebrews, when we read chapter 8, it is a fall. It doesn't mean it's a fall. It is inferior to the reality. A shadow is only a representation of the true image. Colossians chapter 2 verse 17 says, these are shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Some of your Bibles might say, but the body is of Christ. These are shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. The earthly tabernacle was made out of what? Out of human hands and made out of earthly material. But the heavenly tabernacle that came from heaven is not made of human origin, not out of human material. That is an earthly tabernacle that came. That is Christ. Remember, when Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 17, he was preaching to the Epicureans and the Stoics, philosophers. And he saw that there in Athens, there were a lot of statues, a lot of images all over. Suddenly, he saw there's no image, but he says to the unknown God. Paul took the advantage, the opportunity, and preaching about the unknown God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 24, Apostle Paul said, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man. God does not live in temples made by man. You see, all the other religions today, and they want to worship their God, they go to the temple. That's where they meet God. They go to the temple, including the Roman Catholic Church. You know, they go to the, if you go to the church, that's where God is. Okay, it's made by hands, by man. But the Old Testament tabernacle, okay, that is an exact copy. It's a foreshadow. It's only a symbol where God's presence was there, but it pointed to Christ Jesus in the New Testament. It's so sad that the Roman Catholics are still following the Old Testament style of priesthood and everything. It has been abolished. Christ is a high priest. True tabernacle is Christ Jesus. He is a true tabernacle. So the Old Testament tabernacle is only a shadow, only a copy, but the true tabernacle is Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 1 says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of true tabernacle, with the Lord pitch, not man. He is the true tabernacle. It's the Lord is the one who built it, and not man. That's the difference. So you have to see. See, now your hearts are getting, you're already burning here, little by little, when you see the Old Testament and the New Testament, how harmoniously, how they go together, blend together. So how can you say in the Old Testament there is no meat? John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And John chapter 1 verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. What do you mean by this? We have seen His glory. John chapter 1 verse 14, when he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Greek word for dwelt is tabernacle among us. Jesus Christ came and tabernacle among us. That's why John said, we have seen the glory of the tabernacle. Old Testament tabernacle was a glory. It was a glorious tabernacle. It was beautiful, majestic. But John is saying, we have seen the ultimate, the true tabernacle, and we have seen His glory. Glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. So Christ is the true tabernacle. That's why Colossians chapter 2 verse 9 says, for Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Christ dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. And He came and tabernacle among us. He is the true tabernacle. He is the heavenly tabernacle that came from heaven, not made by man's hands. The shadow of the Old Testament tabernacle points to Christ Jesus. Christ is also our high priest. And also, He is the victim. He shed His own blood. Now, the earthly sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats and calves and other animals, you know, was the earthly sacrifices of the tabernacle. But Christ is called the perfect tabernacle. And God pitched His tabernacle on earth. He did not sacrifice blood of animals, but of course, as a high priest, you have to sacrifice. That's high priest's duty, is to bring a sacrifice to God. But when Christ came, He didn't use animal sacrifices, because those animal sacrifices can never forgive your sins. Okay, so He didn't use animal. It was not an earthly animal blood, but what, it was His own divine blood that was sacrificed. It was God's blood that was shed on the cross. Christ is the very God of God. He was worshipped and obeyed by angels day and night. Fall and worship at Christ because He is God. He is the one who laid the foundations of the universe. The Son of God came down to this earth and offered Himself as a sacrifice for unworthy sinners like us. He is the perfect tabernacle that God pitched on this earth. It was God's blood, not the animal's blood. That's why Apostle Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 20 verse 28, Apostle Paul, talking to the Ephesian elders, says, take heed therefore unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He had purchased with His own blood. God purchased us with His own precious blood. how valuable is that blood. High priest in the Old Testament entered the sanctuary, tabernacle, the Holy of Holies, once a year with an animal sacrifice. But, you know, animal sacrifice, that's why animal sacrifice you got to do every year, every year. But Christ's blood, that is the divine blood, is sufficient just only once. Because it's God's blood. It's the divine blood. So Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4 says, "For it is impossible for the blood of the bulls and the goats to take away our sins." It's impossible. God has infinite displeasure against sin. The law is a curse for sinners. It brings fury, judgment, and the wrath of God. It brings eternal punishment for the sinners. So, it is impossible for the blood of the animals, bulls and goats and calves, to forgive our sins. Or to forgive the sins of the Israelites. If the sin is going to be an infinite punishment, the blood of the goats and the calves and the bulls cannot forgive the sins of Israelites. But the Israelites had a communion with God. They had a communion with God. Animal sacrifices did not bring forgiveness and salvation to them. But their sins were forgiven as Christ met them through the symbolism of the sacrifices. See, you have to understand. That's why Hebrews talks about it's the copy, it's the symbol, it's the perfect tabernacle, it's Jesus Christ. So, how were their sins forgiven? Their sins were forgiven as Christ met them through the symbolism of sacrifices. As they were looking for the Messiah, as they trusted in the Messiah, they were looking for Christ, whom they did not have all the details, but they trusted in Him. You know, how do we know this? Because this whole testament is full of scriptures. Let me give one scripture. Psalm chapter 40 verse 6. Psalm 40 verse 6 says, "Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire, mine ears thou had thou open, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart." Who is that person? Jesus Christ. The volume of this book is written of me. And here I come to do, I'm delight to do your will. What was the will of God? To send His Son to this earth to die on the cross for sinners like you and me. Now compare Psalm 40 verse 6 to 7 to Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 to 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 to 10. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5 says, "Wherefore when he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices of sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldst not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He takes away the first, that he established the second, by which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. See how the author of Hebrews took the Old Testament and saw that it's the fulfillment of Christ Jesus in the New Testament, the perfect tabernacle. He did not have to go through animal sacrifices. He did not have to bring that. He himself became the victim He himself is the high priest and the victim. Remember how the Jews came to Jesus and asked for a sign. Give us a sign. And Jesus replied to them saying, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then the Jews said it had taken 46 years to build this temple and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Destroy this temple. He is the true tabernacle. He is the one who came. He is the perfect tabernacle. He is the heavenly tabernacle. In 66 AD, why is it that there is no Jewish temple today? Why there are no sacrifices today? Why there are no high priests today? Because in 66 AD, the Jews rebelled against Rome. What happened was, Rome gave more and more, they put more and more pressure upon the Jews. And they rebelled against Rome. So in April AD 70, after the death of Nero, later Titus, the Roman emperor, he became the Roman emperor, and with his Roman army destroyed the temple of Jerusalem. You know, I mean, he came and with his Roman army, he massacred the people. When the people were massacred, they were killed, thousands and thousands of Jews were killed, and there were dead bodies all over the street, and Josephus, the historian, says that you cannot even see the road. The ground is not visible because of the dead men. Now, how did Titus, the Roman emperor, destroy the temple? By a fire. He set fire to the temple. He set fire to the temple. And Josephus, the historian, says that the blood was all over. The blood was all over. It was larger than the fire. The people's blood was so all over the streets and everywhere, it was larger than the fire. No more temple sacrifices because the temple was destroyed. Christ is our tabernacle. He is our temple. And he is the only sacrifice. And you don't have to like the Roman Catholic Mass you go to every Sunday. You know, it becomes a sacrifice. Christ is being crucified every Sunday. It's an abomination to the Word of God. The Word of God says he became just one sacrifice. Jesus is our tabernacle. He is our one and only sacrifice. Old Testament tabernacle was only a symbol pointing to the true tabernacle, that is Jesus Christ. You understand? Okay, we are going to go through more on this next week. But let me give you a little application here. In Psalm chapter 84 verse 1 and up to verse 4 says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the court of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing joy to the living God. My question is, as the psalmist says, how lovely is your dwelling place? Now Jesus is our tabernacle. Is Jesus your loveliness is towards Jesus? Can you say, how lovely is my tabernacle? How lovely is my Lord Jesus, my beloved? Is Jesus your beloved, or is he just Jesus to you? Is Jesus your loveliness, Or is Jesus a stranger to you? What is your loveliness? What is your dwelling place? Who is your tabernacle? Tabernacle is a place that you go and worship. Right? You serve God, you worship. Who are you serving today? Are you serving the idolatries of this world? Are you serving the idolatries of this world? The things of this world have become gods in your heart? Is Jesus become a stranger to you that you come on Sunday and become, you hear Jesus and become, I understand. And after that, 30 minutes later, your ears have been shut off to Jesus. Your heart is being closed to Jesus. And you have no relationship with Jesus anymore. You have no communion with Jesus. Jesus is not your loveliness. He is not your dwelling place. He has become a stranger to you. And he says here, as the psalmist says, my heart and my flesh sing joy for the living God. If God redeemed you, if God saved you, if God saved you from the wrath that is going to come, are you singing joys of love songs to Him from the bottom of your heart? Are you only coming here and Sunday you open a hymn book or a psalm book and say words from your mouth? Or is your passion for the living God all the time singing joys, and your flesh and your heart is joyous towards the things what He has done? And you, and without God, you are going to be miserable. It's like Mary. Once Jesus was, when He was taken away, when He was, after the death, they buried Him. And Mary, man, she cannot wait. She got to go to that tomb. How? She said, where have you taken away my Lord? So are you like that? Are you joyous for the rest of the week, every single day? Are you joyous when you wake up in the morning? Are you thanking God and say, God, I thank you for the life that you have given me, for the air that I can breathe, for I can breathe all your graciousness, the freshness that you have given me, and now Lord, cause me to serve you. And now Lord, for what you had done, cause me to obey you. Is that your prayer in the morning? Or you just say just a repetitious prayer? Every day it's the same prayer. It's a ritual. It's a tradition. It becomes a religion. Jesus is a stranger to you. He's no loveliness to you. He is far away to you. And here, then psalmist goes on to say in verse 3, even the sparrow finds a home and swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord, host of my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praises. Even a sparrow found a home. Where? Not in a tree, not in a bush, but in the tabernacle. And what is a sparrow? Sparrow is a bird that is insignificant, not important. Only when we are born again, we realize how unworthy creatures we are. Even the insignificant sparrows are permitted to find a place under the ancient tabernacle. And we too, who were unworthy, insignificant creatures, now can come and find shelter under the new tabernacle, Christ Jesus. You who are listening may think that you are despised by God, forgotten by God, and have no room for you in heaven, as you have rebelled against God, and you deserve the wrath of God. But if you truly fall at the feet of Jesus, you will find mercy from God. If you truly fall at the feet of Jesus in repentance of your sins, you too can find refuge Just like a sparrow found refuge in the tabernacle, you too can find refuge in the true tabernacle. Remember, if the sparrow is admitted to the house of God, you too have realized that you have sinned against God and asked for mercy, and you too will be admitted. As Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." He that comes to Jesus, there's no way he's going to cast you out. Therefore, you who are poor, you who are despised like a sparrow, you who are insignificant like a sparrow, you who are unworthy like a sparrow, you may feel that you're nobody like a sparrow, but you can come to the Savior this day without hardening your heart. And when you come, He will no way cast you out. He will no way reject you. But you need to remember that once you come to Jesus, you got to live and give thanks and live the Christian life, not the hypocritical life, but thanking God for every day for what He has done for your soul, and that now you can be obedient to Him in your life and thanking God and serve Him in and giving Him the glory. Amen. Let's pray.
This is Pastor Nick, and we hope today's sermon was a blessing to your soul. If you are blessed spiritually by this ministry, please pray for us as we provide free Christian booklets for prisoners all over the United States. Also, we provide free booklets and audio CDs all over the world for God's glory. Our mailing address is Agape Chapel Ministries, P.O. Box 59084, Norwalk, California 90652. We truly covet your prayers, and until we meet again, may the Lord richly bless your soul with the richness of His word.
Precious name, O thou sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O thou sweet.